Vodkas. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Cape Town, July the 16th, 7:30 p.m. A dense sea mist envelops the tall blocks of flats. Traffic creeps along a nearly deserted beach road. Snug in a small bachelor flat, a young couple sit reading. The man looks up restlessly as the dismal chant of the Greenpoint foghorn shatters his concentration. Irritably, he slams his book down and paces to the curtained window. He pulls aside the drapes and peers into the fog.
Yeah. Just look at it out there. Jan? Jan?
Hmm?
You want to go out?
Out where?
No, I don't know. Basket or something.
Oh, no, Dan. It's horrible out there. Besides, I haven't got any money.
You haven't? Just what happened to all that cash I gave you on Friday?
It's gone. Don't look like that, Dan. It wasn't all that much, and I had a lot to pay out. The installment on that hi-fi was due, and there was food and everything.
You know, I don't know. No matter how much I make, there never seems to be enough. That family of yours never have any trouble. They've always got enough.
Well, they worked for it, Dan. They're business people. They all worked hard. So naturally, they've got a bit of money.
Oh, but never enough to send a bit our way. I work hard. I graft my silly heart out. So where's my money? Gone. It's all gone a couple of days after I give it to you. Listen, Jan, what about that uncle of yours, that locksmith bloke?
Uncle Ben?
Yeah, that's the one. Look, he's rich enough. Can't we ask him for a bit? Just a loan, you know. I mean, we'll pay it all back.
Dennis, we've gone through all this before. You know he won't give us any. You know they didn't approve of me marrying you. Besides, he's an old miser, that one.
You can say that again. It's the meanest bloke I've ever met.
Oh, he's not really so bad. Not when you get to know him. Just a little bit, well, you know, eccentric. Oh, you know what Mum says about him?
What?
He says he's too mean to buy a safe for that shop of his.
So what's he do with all his money?
Well, Mum says he keeps it all in the back pocket of his trousers. Hmm. He asked her to fix them for him once, and there was nearly 500 rands in the pocket.
500? Is sure.
Well, that's what Mum said.
Now, that's interesting. That's very interesting indeed.
By the 18th, 4:25 p.m., the fog of the previous 2 days has lifted. Residents, taking advantage of a bleak winter sun, stroll well-wrapped along the sea wall. Cars inch along the main road, homeward from work. Patrol car 14 of the Western Cape Radio Division is a part of the stream. The driver, Constable Henny de Villiers, sighs with mild impatience at the heavy traffic. His crew, Sergeant Bill Walker, is less perturbed.
Well, nice to see the sun again.
Yeah, it's moved the traffic up again. Just look at that queue. We'll never reach the end of Main Road at this rate.
Look on the bright side, Constable. At least you can see the traffic now. For 2 days you've been grumbling about the fog.
Yes, I suppose you're right, Sarge. Hasn't stopped them driving like maniacs, though. There, look at that chap go, jumping the queue. Look at him driving like a lunatic. Swapping lanes now. He's going to kill himself.
If he doesn't kill anyone else first, get after him, Constable.
Right, Sarge. Sorry to jump the queue like that, mister, but it's the only way. Not going to be easy in this traffic.
Now look, he's turning down that side road. You'll get him down there.
Here we go.
Idiot. I can see we're a police car. Do they think we're doing this for fun?
Well, there he is, Sarge. I think he's pulling up.
Pull up next to him.
Well, he's just sitting there, Sarge. No, I don't think he's seen us.
I think he's drunk. Excuse me, sir. Would you please get out of your car?
Who are you?
Police officer, sir.
Oh, police.
Dan! Danny! What's the matter?
Good afternoon, madam. Do you know this man?
What? Yes, he's my husband. But what's the trouble?
I think you can see for yourself, madam.
Come on, Tom. Hot eyes.
Yeah, all right, I'm coming.
Danny! Danny!
Yeah, I guess I slipped a little bit.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to charge him with driving under the influence of alcohol and take him to the district surgeon for a blood
test. No!
And help him up, Constable. Let's get this over with.
The semi-conscious man is taken to the district surgeon, where his blood is tested for alcoholic content. He is then formally charged with drunken driving and released into the custody of his wife. At the subsequent trial, the hearing is brief and efficient. Dennis van Biljon is a first offender and is fined 100 rand and his driver's license endorsed accordingly.
Honestly, Dennis, I felt so ashamed. I didn't know where to look.
Why did you think about me for a bit? Imagine how I was feeling.
Dan, what on earth made you do it? You don't drink all that much. You've never done anything like that before.
No, it was a sort of celebration. I just got carried away, I suppose.
We aren't going to have much to celebrate when my family read about this in the paper. You can forget about a loan from them now.
Oh, no great loss. They wouldn't have given us anything anyway. Come on, get this thing moving.
Danny, I don't want to have a traffic charge.
Just step on it. I want to get home. There's something I want to talk about.
No, couldn't do anything like that, Dennis. You couldn't.
Think about it, love. Think about it. Who's it going to hurt?
Oh, Dennis, no.
Look how much he's got. What difference will 500 make to his life? That small change to him. Besides, we'd be keeping it in the family. Huh? Look, nobody's going to get hurt. Listen, we plan this thing so carefully that it's all over in 10 minutes. After that, all our troubles will be over. Think about it.
Behind a block of elderly single-story shops in the Three Anchor Bay section of Beach Road stretches a quarter acre of asphalt parking area. The yard is poorly lit, and the old shops are only months away from the demolisher's hammer. Across this yard walks Benjamin Tweedy. He is accompanied by his young assistant, David Barnes.
Another hard day, David. Home now and get some rest. We start early in the morning.
Yes, of course, Mr. Tweedy. But look, Mr. Tweedy, I was wondering about tomorrow.
Same time, David. 7:30. Try and be 5 minutes early. We can open up and be ready to trade.
But that's just it, you see. I'd like tomorrow off.
Off? What do you mean, off?
It's not me, Mr. Tweedy. It's my mother, you see.
Your mother?
She told me to ask you. She's moving, you see. Going from one flat to another, and she wants me to help.
Well, doesn't she have a moving company?
Well, that's just it. She doesn't have much furniture. She didn't think it was worthwhile. She's hired a small truck, and she wants me to drive it.
I see. How much do I pay you, David?
Well, of course, I wouldn't expect to be paid for the day. You could take it off my wages.
That's all very well. What am I going to do tomorrow? I don't have a son that I can call into the shop to take your place.
But, Mr. Tweedy, you said yourself that business was slack at the moment.
It's not that slack.
Then I can't have the day off?
Oh, you're a good boy, David. Oh, since it's for your mother, all right.
Oh, gosh, thanks, Mr.
But you'll be here on time the next day, you hear me?
Yes, of course. Good night, Mr. Tweedy.
Young people, I don't know. They don't want to work. They want money, they don't want to work for it. And tell them all, if you want to be rich, you work. You work hard.
July the 20th, 5:25 p.m., the evening of the following day. In the dingy parking square behind the facade of old shops in Three Anchor Bay, two people sit in a car. The square is nearly dark in the early winter twilight. A faint sea mist dulls the single streetlight. The woman sits quietly, pale and tense. The man nervously lights a cigarette.
What's the time?
Nearly half past.
What's keeping him?
Then it's not too late. We can still call it off. Go home and pretend it never happened. Please, Dan.
Shut up. We're here now. We're going to do just what we planned. You got the stockings?
Yes, Dan.
Good. I got the gun.
Dan, do you have to?
I've told you. It's not even loaded. It'll give the old man a fight. That's all. Save us a lot of time.
Danny, look. There he is.
Yeah, I see him. All right. One of the stockings. Here we go. Come on, Dan.
Oh, coming. I can't get this stocking out of my head.
Come on, hurry up. It's a bit of car in a minute. Right. Here we go. Just leave it to me. When I get his hands up, go for the money in his pocket. When you got it, just clear off back to the car. And don't say anything. He might recognize your voice. You got that?
Yes.
Great. Old thumbs. Here we go. Good evening.
What? What's the matter with your face?
Nothing at all, Jim. Just stand still.
No, please. Don't shoot.
Get your hands up. No, don't back away. Just stand right where you are.
Please don't kill me.
Not if you behave. You heard me. Stand still.
No, not my pocket.
Just keep your hands up or I'll shoot. Okay, you got the money? Good. Now run for it. There you buy, old man. Thanks for the money.
A badly shocked Ben Tweedy unlocks his little shop once more and telephones the police. Within minutes, members of the Western Cape Division of the Murder and Robbery Squad are on the scene. Heading the investigation is Major André de Wet.
When you say that there was something strange about this man's face, could you help us a little more, Mr. Tweedy? Did it look like a mask of some sort?
No, not a mask. I don't know. It looked sort of flat.
Flat? Constable.
Sir?
Pass me that stocking.
Here, sir.
Thanks. Here. Like this, Mr. Tweedy?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's it exactly.
An old trick. Nylon stocking pulled over the face. It disguises the features completely. Both men were masked like this, Mr. Tweedy?
Well, as far as I could see, yes. The second man I hardly saw at all. He didn't even speak.
I see. What about the car? You weren't able to get the number?
Oh, it was much too dark. It was an unusual car, though. Very sporty looking. A white two-seater with a bright red line running down the side.
That might be a help. Now then, Mr. Tweedy, could you tell us exactly how much was stolen?
Oh, that's not hard. It was only today's takings, and we had a very quiet day. I have the figure here. Exactly, 22 rand, 15 cents.
I'm sorry, Dan, honestly. How could I know?
22 rand, a miserable 22 rand. You said 500.
Oh, that's what Mum said.
All that planning, the risks we took for this.
I'm sorry.
That is not good enough. We'll have to do something about it.
Oh, what do you mean?
We find someone else, that's what. And this time we make sure he's loaded.
Investigation proceeds in the Ben Tweedy case. A description of the sporty white car is circulated, and Major De Wet discusses the case with his assistant, Sergeant Peter Andrews.
Not a lot to go on, sir.
Virtually nothing. Unless we have a bit of luck with that car. Whoever these people were, they must have known something about the old man.
Yeah? Why do you say that, sir?
I've been doing a little checking with his associates. He's known to be a bit of an eccentric. Rumor had it that he didn't trust safes, that he habitually carried large amounts in his back pocket.
That's asking for trouble.
Which he duly got. Seems the rumors were wrong. 22 rand isn't much of a haul. Major De Wet. Who? Oh, yes, of course. Show him straight in.
Visitor, sir?
Yes, talk of the devil. Mr. Tweedy's here. Seems that he has some information for us.
Sound interesting.
Let's wait and see, shall we? Oh, come in, Mr. Tweedy. Take a seat.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I do hope I'm not wasting your time, Major.
Let me be the judge of that, sir.
Yes, well, I've been thinking. You know, you asked me if I suspected anyone of the robbery, I mean.
That's a routine question that we ask all victims, Mr. Tweedy. I'm sure that you'll appreciate it doesn't bring many results.
Well, it's just it. I do suspect someone.
Really?
Yes. Yes, in fact, I'm almost sure he had something to do with it. It all fits, you see.
Who is this person, Mr. Tweedy?
My assistant, David Barnes.
You didn't tell us about an assistant before.
It simply didn't occur to me. You see, he wasn't there at the time. He had the day off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me suspicious, you see.
Well, Mr. Tweedy, if you'll give us all the details, we will certainly investigate this young man.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, Mr. Barnes, please sit down. Now then, you work for Mr. Tweedy?
That's right, for the last 18 months.
Did you get on well?
I beg your pardon?
Does he treat you well? Are you happy here?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Does he pay you well?
Well, no, I don't get a lot. I'm only apprenticed, you see.
Yesterday, you had the day off, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
You told Mr. Tweedy that you had to help your mother move her furniture to a new flat.
Yes, I did.
I spoke to your mother less than an hour ago, David. It seems she's been in the same flat for 15 years, and she has no intention of moving.
So I lied to the old bloke. He'd never given me the time off if I hadn't.
Exactly what did you do, David?
I went out. I met this girl on the beach, you see.
The beach? In July?
I mean, I didn't meet her in July. I just wanted to see her, and I...
David, have you heard the stories about the money in Mr. Tweedy's back pocket?
Money? You don't think it was me? Please, sir, you must believe me. I didn't rob him.
Well, Sergeant, what did you think?
I don't know, sir. He seemed a nice enough boy. I'm inclined to believe he was telling the truth.
Yes, Sergeant, so am I, but without any other leads to help us, he remains our number one suspect. I think it might pay us to keep an eye on young David Barnes.
Dan? Danny?
Yeah?
Dan? Where are you going?
I'm going out. Does it matter?
Please, Danny. Please don't.
Please don't do what?
You... Oh, I don't know, Dan. You said something about robbing someone else.
Look, I was going down to the pub for a beer. Do you mind?
Do you think you should? Go out, I mean?
Why not?
Well, the robbery last night... Please, sir. They'll be looking for you. For us.
Do me a favor. Just how are they ever going to find us? What could possibly lead them to us?
I don't know. They're clever, Dan.
Yeah? Well, they're not clever enough to find me. See you later.
As Dennis van Billon stalks angrily into the public bar of a nearby hotel, the familiar white shape of Patrol Car 14 cruises along Sea Point Beach Road. With the light of his torch, Sergeant Bill Walker scans the current list of wanted cars.
You see today's bulletin, Constable?
Yes, Sergeant. I had a look at it back at the station.
See anything interesting?
The white car?
I was wondering if you'd noticed that. There can't be many cars of that description in the peninsula.
You think it could be the Van Bullion man? The one we picked up for drunken driving?
There's a chance that it might be. I'll have a word with the investigating officer when we get back to the station.
Very interesting, Sergeant.
I don't know if it's going to help you at all, sir.
Well, we already have a suspect. Could be that these two are connected in some way, then. Again, we might have been barking up the wrong tree all the time. Sergeant, you remember where this Fumbleyon character lives?
I know the place, sir.
Then do something for me. Have a look to see if he's parked that car outside, and then take old Mr. Tweedy to have a look at it.
No trouble at all, sir. I'll do that this afternoon.
Let me know as soon as you get back, Sergeant. I'm very interested in the result. Now then, David, have you anything new that you want to tell me?
No, sir. But I didn't do it. But I don't know anything about it.
You still working for Mr. Tweedy?
No, he gave me the sack yesterday.
Hmm. This girlfriend that you visited, can she vouch for you?
No, she can't.
You mean you didn't visit her? You're changing your story.
I went to see her, but... Well, her parents were at home, and I didn't want to go in. They don't like me very much.
What did you do, David?
I went to the bio. Cafe Bio in Adderley Street. Please, I know it sounds bad, but I did. That's exactly what I did.
Excuse me. Major DeBett?
Major, this is Sergeant Walker of the radio division.
Oh, yes, Sergeant. You got some news for me about that car?
Yes, sir. We were lucky. The car was in the street outside Van Bouillon's flat.
Mm-hmm.
We collected Mr. Tweedy, sir. He wasn't very cooperative, sir. Didn't want to leave the shop.
I'm sure. But he finally went.
Yes, sir. He saw the car, and he's quite certain it's the same one that was used by his robbers.
I see. Thanks, Sergeant. Thank you very, very much indeed.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Now then, David, where were we?
I didn't do it, Major. I didn't rob the old man.
Do you know a man called Dennis Van Bouillon?
Van Bouillon? No, I don't think so. No, definitely not.
All right, Barnes, you can go.
Go?
I believe you. I don't think you were responsible.
Young David Barnes walked gratefully out of the police station. His cares were nearly over. He was an innocent man, and he didn't know Dennis Van Bouillon. When an hour later, Major De Vette put the same question to old Ben Tweedy, the answer was slightly different.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think I've met him.
You're sure, Mr. Tweedy? In what connection?
Van Bouillon, family connection. He's married to my niece's daughter.
Do you know him well?
I don't know him at all.
But I thought you
said... I said I'd met him. I had to. It was the least I could do for Janet. I didn't like the man, and I haven't seen him since.
Would you know him if you saw him again?
Very much doubt it.
As a matter of interest, Mr. Tweedy, would he have any way of knowing about your business habits?
I beg your pardon?
There's a rumor about your money, Mr. Tweedy. They say you have no safe in the office, that you keep your takings in your back pocket.
They say that, do they?
Could Van Bouillon have heard that rumor?
Well, I expect Janet could have told him. She probably heard it from her mother. The family likes to talk about me.
Hmm.
Doesn't stop them asking for money when they need it.
Did Van Bouillon ever ask you for money?
Not him. Janet, his wife, she asked me once, soon after they were married.
Did you give him money?
Most certainly not.
I see. Thanks, Mr. Tweedy. You've been a great help.
You seem pretty sure about this, huh?
Do I? I wish I was.
But you think it's Van Bouillon?
Haven't met the man, Sergeant. I'll tell you when I do. In the meantime, he's the best bet we have.
That's the flat over there on the left.
Right, Sergeant. Let's pull up here and go visiting.
Oh, Denny, I wish you'd stop pacing around the flat like that.
Well, you can't have it both ways. First, you don't want me to go out, and now you'd rather I wasn't in.
I didn't say that. I only... Who's that?
Well, you'll never know, will you? Unless you answer the door.
But suppose...
Come on, go on. Answer it.
Yes?
Mrs. Van Bouillon?
That's right.
I wonder if we could come in and have a word with your husband. We're police officers.
But Dan, it's the police.
You'd better let them in.
No, you mustn't. You mustn't take him away, please.
Janet, will you shut up?
No, no. No, Dan, it isn't any good. They know about
us,
Ben. They know all about us. They're going to take you away.
Shut up! I said Sergeant. Shut up! I just got you, sir. Go on, me.
Come along, Van Bouillon. You've got one or two questions to answer.
Sir Janet Van Bouillon were both charged with armed robbery. At their trial, the prosecution accepted a plea of guilty. Van Bouillon was sentenced to 5 years in prison. The judge considered that his wife was strongly influenced by Van Bouillon. and he sentenced her to 6 months' imprisonment, suspended for 3 years.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.